Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And today it's our unit on Discovery. On the Discovery Channel, there is the documentary that you might want to check out. It's called Churchill's Traitors. Churchill, of course, was the Prime Minister of England back during World War II, and I guess the British had some traitors.
Wow, hard to believe. If you're a traitor, you're actually giving information to an enemy of your own country, so you're being disloyal. Kind of hard to believe, but there was some people in Great Britain that were acting as traitors and giving information to Japan and Germany during World War II. We're going to talk more about that. Why? Because Discovery has a one-hour documentary called Churchill's Traitors, and they're looking at how this network of British spies gave information to the enemy.
Oh, well, it's an extremely interesting topic, and that's why we have chosen it for you today. History, how would we know where we are now if we did not know where we had come from? Okay, well, let's get to it, everybody. Let's read the entire content of today's lesson right now, and then we'll come back to discuss it. December 7th, 1941 is a date which lives in infamy in American history. It's when the Imperial Japanese Navy orchestrated a surprise attack against the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor. Over 2,000 Americans were killed, and several U.S. battleships, aircraft, and submarines were destroyed. The attack infuriated Americans as they were not at war with Japan at the time. Within days, the U.S. would declare war on Japan and enter World War II. However, recently declassified documents suggest that the shocking attack was planned with intelligence supplied by one of America's closest allies. Discovery's one-hour documentary, Churchill's Traitors, examines how a network of British spies provided vital information to the Japanese, which led to one of World War II's darkest days. The saga started back in 1918. At that time, the British had arguably the most powerful military on Earth and were the most dominant power in Asia. It was also the year in which Britain developed the first aircraft carrier, which enabled planes to launch aerial attacks from the sea. Japan became interested in this technology, so a British aristocrat, William Stemphill, was sent to Japan to foster an agreement. Within 2 years, Stemphill and his team helped upgrade Japan's air force to a power to be reckoned with. Soon after, Japan's growing power and aggression in Asia started to cause alarm amongst the U.S. and other British allies. At the 1922 Washington Conference, it was agreed that the Anglo-Japanese alliance would be terminated. The military ties between England and Japan should have ended there, but they didn't.
Okay, everybody, we're starting with a very important date, at least to Americans, that is. December 7th, 1941 is a date which lives in infamy in American history. I think that's the line that the president at the time actually said in a speech.
FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
It's a date which will live in infamy.
Infamy here is the noun. It's talking about something bad that happened. It's famous for something bad. And that's, of course, referring to the attack at Pearl Harbor. That's when the Imperial Japanese Navy orchestrated a surprise attack against the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor. Now, if we talk about the Imperial Japanese Navy, Imperial means having to do with an empire. Imperial. An empire, of course, is a country that's ruled by either one person or a small group of people. It's like a dictatorship. And this was the Imperial Japanese Navy. And, well, they planned this attack. We're using the word orchestrate here because that means you plan something that involves all sorts of little details. Kind of like a symphony orchestra. There are all sorts of musical instruments. There's the violins, the cellos, the flutes, etc. You have to orchestrate everything together, have all these parts fit together in order for it to work.
And they orchestrated or planned and organized this surprise attack against the U.S. naval base. Naval here is just the adjective form of the word navy, and it relates to a country's navy. Your navy is the part of the military that protects a country, but you're out on the sea. You're on big ships and boats, primarily ships. A boat is actually smaller than a ship, if you want to know what the difference is. Well, they had this surprise attack. Nobody knew it was coming, and it was very shocking. It also did a lot of damage. Over 2,000 Americans were killed, and several U.S. battleships, aircraft, and submarines were destroyed at the same time. They were like sitting ducks. If you're a sitting duck, it means you're out there, you're unprotected, you're an easy target for someone to get.
Right, the Japanese must have thought the Americans were really stupid. They're just sitting here not doing anything. We're just blowing them out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
We're destroying their airplanes before they can even get in the air. And as you might expect, this attack infuriated Americans. To infuriate just means to make somebody extremely angry. To be furious means to be really angry. So to make someone furious, you infuriate them. I was infuriated. I was made extremely angry by what you did.
Well, they were really angry because they were not even at war with Japan. So they're thinking, what the heck are you doing? We're not even in war with you guys. But, of course, after that attack, the U.S. would declare war on Japan and enter World War II. Up to that point, they had not been involved. Although England, Great Britain had asked them to get involved, they had kept saying, no, no, leave us out of this. We don't want to get in there. But after you're attacked, you have to protect your country, and that's when they declared war on Japan. If you declare something, you say it in kind of a public way. We also use that verb to talk about not having enough money to pay our bills. You can declare bankruptcy. To formally say in a legal document that you're unable to pay your bills. So here they declare war. They tell everybody, okay, they attacked us. We're going to go get them.
Well, here the U.S. declared formally war on Japan, and they entered World War II. However, we've got some recently declassified documents, and those documents suggest that this shocking attack was planned with intelligence supplied by one of America's closest allies. If you declassify something, you make something that was classified no longer classified. Usually governments have documents that are secret. They can't let other people know about them. They're very sensitive. They'll cause trouble if people know about them. Well, now these documents have been declassified. Classified means they're secret. Declassified means they're no longer secret.
So they're going to allow the public to know what was in those documents. A lot of times, years after a big important event like a war, a government will declassify documents and let the average citizen see what was happening at the time. But during a war, there are a lot of secrets that are kept for good reason. Well, they looked at these documents, and it looked like the shocking attack on Pearl Harbor was planned with intelligence supplied by one of America's closest allies. Intelligence here doesn't mean that someone has the ability to learn or understand things. It means information which is secret. Oh, we got that secret intelligence from our spy that's working in Russia. So if you have a spy or a series of spies who are out gathering information, what they come back and return to you is called intelligence. Well, this information or intelligence was supplied or given by one of America's closest allies, which is shocking because an ally is a country that supports and helps you at war. So two allies would be fighting the same enemy.
Right. Of course, you've heard of the CIA, right? That's the Central Intelligence Agency, an agency of the United States government that is designed to collect information about different things, usually about America's enemies. And again, you don't want to collect that information from your allies. They're supposed to be your friends. So, yeah, as you said, ally is your friend, like the Americans were allied with the British and the Chinese during World War II. Now, Discovery Channel's one-hour documentary, Churchill's Traitors, examines how a network of British spies provided vital information to the Japanese, which led to one of World War II's darkest days. So that's what this documentary program wants to do. It wants to tell us all about this. A documentary is a film, usually a film, could be a radio show, but oftentimes, more often, is a film, that provides information. It's not narrative. It's not going to win a Hollywood Oscar for acting, for example. It might win for the documentary category.
Yeah, right? But it's not fiction. That's the most important part of what a documentary is. It tells facts about actual people, actual events. It might have someone's opinions thrown in there, but it's not fictional. So it's not just a story people made up. I love documentaries.
Me too.
Yeah.
Especially on the Discovery Channel.
Uh-huh.
And they've got this new documentary entitled Churchill's Traitors. It takes a look at this. It examines. It shows us how we have this network of British spies. Not just one, but several of them working together in a network. And they actually provided vital, important, crucial information to the Japanese. Why did they do that, those traitors? And that led, of course, to one of World War II's darkest days. It led to the attack on Pearl Harbor.
If you have something that's vital, like Tom says, it's very, very important. Crucial is another word that could be used instead of vital. To have clean water for people to drink is vital for our survival. So something that's really, really essential, of course, is vital. And it's going to be interesting finding out who these spies were and what they were doing. Why? Why would you be a traitor to your country? It's kind of hard to understand. But I got a feeling, Tom, that has something to do with money, because these spies usually get paid lots and lots of money.
True, money can turn you into a traitor overnight. Okay, everybody, that brings us to the end of the first part of our lesson for today. It's time now to listen very carefully to your Chinese teacher.
Hi, 大家好,我是 Eric, 欢迎收听 English Digest. 今天的课程将介绍 Discovery 的新节目 Churchill's Traitors, 是一位英国间谍出卖英国首相丘吉尔，泄露重要军机给日本。 那最后导致了日本可以偷袭珍珠港。现在就让我们来讲解一下课文里面比较困难的句子。首先，我们看第一段第一句： December 7th, 1941 is a date which lives in infamy in American history. 西元1941年12月7日是美国历史上一个不名誉的日子。句中要注意的是 1941 后面要加逗点，那1941的前面要加逗点，一般的同学比较不会有问题。但是如果是在句子中，那1941的后面也要加逗点，用来补充说明是哪一年的12月7日。关系代名词 which 指的当然是先行词 a date， 同时 which 也是关系子句的主词。那要注意这里 which 不可以用关系副词 when 代替。 因为这里需要的是主词，也就是名词或是代名词，所以这里要用关系代名词 which。那另外，让我们回到课文的句子，句子里面 infamy 是名词，那是恶名、坏名声的意思。它的形容词刚刚 Tom 和 Stephanie 老师也有提到，就是 infamous，I-N-F-A-M-O-U-S， 也就是 famous。 有名的这个单字前面加上 i-n， 表示是相反的意思，所以 infamous 就是表示恶名昭彰的、声名狼藉的。下面我们看第一段最后一句： Discovery's one-hour documentary Churchill's Traitors examines how a network of British spies provided vital information to the Japanese. 探索频道一小时长的纪录片《出卖丘吉尔》检视了英国间谍网络如何提供重要资讯给日本。句中 how 一直到 Japanese 都是疑问词子句当成名词的用法，也就是名词子句的用法。那在这里作为 examines 的受词，那后面接着说 which led to one of World War II's darkest days。 那这导致了二战中最灰暗的时刻， which 这里代表是前面的子句，也就是英国间谍网络如何提供重要资讯给日本的这件事情。那这件事情又导致了二战中最灰暗的日子来临。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, let's continue to talk about today's lesson, Churchill's Traitors. Now, we're talking about Pearl Harbor here and how these British spies actually provided information to the Japanese, of all people, and that gave the Japanese vital information that allowed them to attack Pearl Harbor, to have that surprise attack. Well, the saga started back in 1918. Now, a saga is just a long story, and usually it involves, you know, a military or heroes and things like that. So this long story started way back in the year 1918, many years before this attack took place.
Well, at that time, the British had arguably the most powerful military on Earth. When you use that word arguably, it means it can be argued. We use it to say that this statement that we just said is very possibly true. Even if it's not certainly true, it's very possibly true. There are good reasons why we say this is true. So someone might disagree with you, but you'd still have very good reasons to debate the point with that person. So they had a really, really strong military on Earth around the year of 1918.
Exactly. It could be said that they had this really strong military, and they were the dominant power in Asia. If you're dominant, you are the most important, you're the most powerful, and you have the most influence, okay? So they were very dominant in Asia. Of course, they had colonies all over the place in Asia, and the rest of the world, too, but you couldn't do anything in Asia without the British people knowing about it.
Well, it was also the year in which Britain developed the first aircraft carrier. An aircraft carrier is a very special military ship. It's very, very, very big. And it has a large deck. That's the top level of a ship. And on that large deck, they have airplanes take off and land. So part of your military includes the Air Force. Those are the people who fly in planes to protect your country. Well, this is where the Navy and the Air Force work together, because these pilots can land on these aircraft carriers, get refilled with fuel. Remember, you run out of fuel if you fly around too long. And these are really powerful military ships. They also have bombs on them, I think.
And missiles and other kinds of stuff. And,
yeah,
even the big ones have exercise rooms for all the sailors on there.
Nice.
Places to take a shower and places to sleep, stuff like that. They're very modern. I did want to mention here, aircraft is a non-count noun. Please do not add an S to this word.
Never.
Aircraft, because there are airplanes and helicopters and many different kinds of things that fly in the air. So we consider this a non-count noun. Okay, so this aircraft carrier allowed planes to launch aerial attacks from the sea. If you launch something, that means you set something in motion. Okay, you can launch a rocket, and in this case, you can launch an attack.
You could also launch a ship, send something out into the water, or maybe you're going to just send something into the air to launch. We also use launch in a business sense as well. You can launch a marketing campaign, start a new campaign. So to launch means to get something going, to send, to shoot out, to put into action. So they planned to launch these aerial attacks. Aerial means relating to the air, attacks from the sea. So these aircraft carriers were really, really important. Now remember, if you're in Asia, America is a long, long, long ways away. So we need these aircraft carriers to enable us to even function in a war.
Mm-hmm. And in the next sentence here, we have the word aristocrat. There was a British aristocrat by the name of William Stemphill. He was sent to Japan to foster an agreement with the Japanese. Now, an aristocrat is a person who is a member of the aristocracy, which is a group of people who are better than anybody else. I guess they're lords and ladies and dukes and things like that. So he was a pretty important person there. And he was sent to Japan to try to get an agreement with them. Here we have the word foster. That means to encourage or promote the development of something, to bring this thing about, to encourage this result. So, yes, he was sent there to talk to the Japanese, to be nice to them, to bow down to them, eat their sushi and say, oh, we love you guys. You guys are such great people. Can we have this kind of agreement?
To foster means to help something grow or develop, so you can see how they're using it here. They wanted to help complete this agreement, so they sent him there to make friends with the Japanese. We also have things such as foster parents. These are people who bring children into their homes to help raise them. They don't really adopt them. They just take care of them until they're grown. Those are foster parents, same sort of idea. I wanted to mention we don't have aristocrats in the United States at all.
No.
It's something that is part of Great Britain's history. They believe certain people are royalty based on their birth. It has nothing to do with your own talent or success. If you're born into the right family, you're supposedly some sort of royalty. These people owned land long ago. And their families are still very important. We have no classes in America. We don't have a class system like Great Britain did and still does. So we don't have aristocrats. So we know from the fact that they're describing Senpil as an aristocrat that he came from a very wealthy family, a land-owning family. So he probably had a superior education and has money and, you know, he's kind of classy, that sort of thing.
Stuff like that. Okay, so for some reason, the British were sent to try to have an agreement with the Japanese, maybe as a way to control China or something like that. I don't really know. But within 2 years, Senpil and his team helped upgrade Japan's Air Force to a power to be reckoned with. Ooh, watch out for that. If you upgrade something, that means you make it a higher quality than what it was before. Maybe you have an old version of your operating system and you want to upgrade it. Android, what, 2.3 or something? I want to upgrade to Android 4.0, if I got that correct. Are those the operating systems for Android?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were. But in any case, yes, get the better version of something. So, yes, upgrade their Air Force, and then they want it to be a power to be reckoned with. And this is a phrase here, to reckon with. That means something is challenged and something that will meet your challenge and will possibly defeat you. So, yeah, it's a power to be reckoned with. In other words, it's a power to be taken seriously, and you can't laugh at them because they might beat you in the game.
Mm-hmm. We'll often use the phrase a force to be reckoned with, which means you're someone who's strong, you can't be ignored, you have to really deal with that person seriously. Well, soon after that, Japan's growing power and aggression in Asia started to cause alarm among the U.S. and other British allies. Notice here they're using the word amongst. Amongst is used primarily in England rather than the United States, but it means the same thing as among. So you can use either form of that word. When you talk about someone's aggression in this sort of context, you're talking about hostile actions that one country takes against another country or government. And they were starting to kind of dominate Asia. They wanted to take control of the smaller countries here.
Right, so this aggression from Japan started to cause alarm amongst the U.S. and other British allies. What are these Japanese people doing? We got to watch out for them. And at the 1922 Washington Conference, it was agreed that the Anglo-Japanese alliance would be terminated. Anglo here is just a word that refers to anything having to do with England or the British. So Anglo-Japanese alliance, they had some kind of alliance? They had set up some kind of team?
I know about it. Do you want me to tell you?
Oh, please, dig in.
Yeah, it was an agreement they had between them. It was signed in 1902, and it lasted through 1923. It was an alliance between Britain and Japan, and it was to help protect their interests in China and Korea. It was really directed against the Russians.
Oh, my goodness, the Russians were playing a part there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, I thought the Russians were just bad drivers. But I guess the Russians were much more terrible back in the day. And so this Japanese alliance between Japan and England would be terminated. To terminate means to end something. Mm-hmm. You don't want to hear that if you're working. Next week, your employment at this company will be terminated. In other words, you're fired. And therefore, the military ties between England and Japan should have ended there, but they didn't. And we're going to find out how they continued in our next program. You'll just have to wait until then. But right now, we're going to finish our program by listening to our Chinese teacher.
接着,我们看到第二段第一句, The saga started back in 1918. 这个故事起于西元1918年。句中saga指的是 长篇冒险故事的意思，因为从1918年一直到1941年是个很长的日子，所以我们这里用 saga 这个字表示这个故事很长。 那所以时间回到了1918年。那下一句的开头 at that time 指的当然也就是1918年当时。接着我们看第二段第三句 It was also the year in which Britain developed the first aircraft carrier which enabled plans to launch aerial attacks from the sea。 同一年英国发展了首艘航空母舰，让飞机得以从海上发起空中攻击。句首的 it 指的当然是前面说的1918年，那句中的 in which 就是 in 1918 的意思。这里我们也可以用关系副词 when 来取代 in which， 表示后面关系子句所发生的时间是在1918年。那后面的 which 代表的则是先行词 aircraft carrier，也就是航空母舰的意思。再来我们看第二段第五句 Within 2 years Sam Peel and his team helped upgrade Japan's Air Force to a power to be reckoned with。 两年内三皮尔及其团队帮助了日本空军升级成为一股不容轻视的强大军队。首先让我们先看到 upgrade 这个动词， upgrade 就是升级的意思，那常常搭配介系词 to 来使用， upgrade 点点点 to 点点点，就表示把什么升级成什么。那我们来看个例句 The airline upgraded us to first class， 这间航空公司把我们升级成头等舱。再来我们看到 somebody something to be reckoned with， 就表示是必须严阵以待的人或物。那比较常用的用法是A power 或是 a force to be reckoned with， 表示一股不容轻视的力量，或是我们也可以说 somebody to be reckoned with， 其中 somebody 常用直称以表示一个不容轻视的什么人。最后就让我们来看个例句 With the title of the championship he is considered a boxer to be reckoned with， 打着冠军的头衔他被认为是个不容轻视的拳击手。
Thanks for joining us, everyone. In our next program, we're going to talk more specifically about that big trader that he was, William Semphill, the British aristocrat. We hope you'll join us for that program. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.